item, which brings us back to our open session agenda, item six, which is the presentation of the alternative investment fees and expense report. Always an exciting and looking forward to event. One of our with that, Mr. Price, favorite? The floor is yours.
I was going to say, it's one of our most favorite required regulatory reports. So this is our annual statement of reporting out on all fees associated with our alternative investments. I'm going to turn this over to Brian. He's going to go over this. But essentially, this is the state requirement every year to publish this. It covers the calendar year 2022, and it's for private equity, real estate partnerships, and private credit and real assets. So with that.
That was quite a wind-up and lead-in, Brian, so I don't know how you follow that up.
Thanks, Tim. Good morning, Terry Gordon and members of the board. As Tim mentioned, California public pension plans are required to obtain and publicly disclose fee and expense data for alternative investment vehicles on an annual basis. Intent of the legislation is to increase transparency of the cost of these private investment funds. The attached report is for calendar year 2022, and it satisfies SECERA's requirement. Really, to briefly just summarize the contents of the report, it's a lot of numbers, but SECERA paid approximately $24 million in management fees in 2022 to our private investment funds. This was a slight increase from 2021's approximately $22 million. The increase in management fees is in line with staff's expectations as we continue to build out our private market exposure and continue to commit to new opportunities. Switching to carried interest and performance fees, they were approximately $6.1 million in 2022. This was also a slight increase from 2021's approximately $4.7 million in performance fees. Once again, in line with staff expectations, there was a robust exit environment in first half of 2022, and our GPs exited investments at attractive valuations, generating performance fees. We do expect that this amount will decrease in 2023 as exit opportunities have been somewhat muted in the current economic environment. That concludes my comments on the report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
I had a general question, and while others are pondering if they have any. When we say that the fees are in line with staff expectations, there's, I guess for lack of a better term, there's an understood market or range of fees that's acceptable, right? And I realize you're professionals and you know that, but I just want to get that out there publicly that this isn't something that's ad hoc on every private equity deal or alternative investment deal we do. There's an understanding, and maybe you can tell us generally what that is, but an understanding that there's a market for this service, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The market for fees in private investment vehicles range from management fees from 1.5% to 2% on a lot of times on commitment, many other times on just the invested capital. We expect to pay performance fees anywhere from 10 to 20% as well. When we say that fees are in line with our expectations, they're in line with those expectations around those broad sort of fee expectations, basically.
Thank you. That's helpful. Yeah. Any other questions for Brian or Tim? Yeah, David.
Well, I think it's important also to consider the context
that what's most important for us is net return. And so the fees paid, if we pay so much in fees and it gets us 10%, then okay. So just for public awareness, I mean, fees are important, and however we can minimize those helps us with improve our return. But in general, it's what we're getting back net of fees.
And we see in the tabular reporting that's in the report, we have a gross and net of fees far right column that tells you how those funds perform, both gross and net of fees.
And when we're underwriting, we always underwrite to net returns, factoring in all fees.
Any other thoughts or questions? Sean?
Brian, this is old CPA in me. We have lots and lots of numbers and columns of numbers, and yet we don't have a summary of what those numbers were. But you started out describing $24 million in one of the categories, which I think would be for this report. The cover memo going forward summarize the details into subcategories totaling total category, and then you can go back to the individual line items that you provided to look at that in more depth.
Do that, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, we can certainly take a look at that. I mean, we're complying with the letter of the statute with this report here. But, yeah, I mean, certainly we can include something on a summary level basis in the cover memo going forward.
The highlight's real.
The highlight's real. yeah, I mean, it is, and certainly I think it's helpful to keep in mind here that the management fees are fixed but declining. Is the trend in the industry. The carried interest is dependent upon the exit opportunities available to us. So when you see a big carried interest there, it's because you had a lot of great exits and we got paid, and that's the profit sharing. So we can add some context to that in the cover memo.
So in a climate of, seems like every cost we face is increasing, right? Just in general, whether it be, you know, salary and wage pressures, going to the supermarket, everything. How is it that the management fee seems to have a declining trajectory?
Yeah, it's a combination of two factors. One is just simply it's a maturing industry. So we've gone from a standard fee of 2% management fee and 20% carried interest over a hurdle rate. We've seen the management fee decline to 1.5% for real estate, even less than that. And, you know, the carried interest has kind of remained somewhat fixed there. But, you know, that management fee has come down. I think you couple that maturing industry with the fact that as all inflation is supply and demand constrained, there is still a lot of supply of private equity vehicles. The demand from limited partnerships has come back a little bit simply because people got a little bit overallocated if they had a big mature program. And the public markets declined. Well, declined and rebounded and moved around here a bit. You've seen a number of plans pull back on the private equity annual pacing analysis. So I think in light of that, you have seen a more competitive environment available to us. And I think those are the two factors kind of driving that decline.
Interesting. Any other questions? Mike.
Mark, can you clarify for me? I'm not really sure what partnership expenses are.
Yeah. Partnership expenses tend to be a lot of fund expenses, so to basically launch the fund, auditing within the fund, any of those ancillary expenses that are just to have the fund in existence over sort of a 10 to 12 year period. So continuing audit fees, those type of fees.
Okay. Thank you.
Jerry.
If you look at page 3, just to, there's a bit of an apples and oranges comparison, I'm sure, here. But, and so forgive me for that. But if you look at something like energy investor funds, that's a $50 million commitment. And if you add up all those fees, it's roughly $1 million. And out of that, $670,000 is $73,000 is other expenses. And compare that to some of the other funds that have other expenses really stands out there as kind of a an interesting line item, especially with the relationship that it has to the total expenses. So, and some of them seem more modest, certainly almost all of them seem more modest by comparison. So I was wondering if you could speak to energy investors in particular. And I mean, one of the other Cirrus partners has $54 in other expenses. That's kind of like,
yeah, so
you know, parking meter money.
I think, like you mentioned, they're not all apples to apples. There's
right.
No standardized definition of partnership expenses. So GPs tend to put different things in those partnership expenses. I don't know off the top of my head exactly what energy investors has in their partnership expenses. We're happy to sort of delve into that. But It's just not an apples to apples.
But without, it's a cynic in me, I guess, is sitting there. You can almost see the accounting people or the senior staff saying, put it in other expenses. That's a good catch-all. And pretty soon you get $673,000.
I think that's an area that LPs are tending to push back on with GPs, is just the partnership expenses in general. Because like I mentioned, a lot of GPs are tended to put a lot more expenses than maybe they should be in those, in that category. I think LPs are starting to push back and really drill down into some of these expenses. I would anticipate them maybe becoming less so going forward, but the GPs still have a lot of leeway on what expenses they can put in that category.
That's the major trend we saw going into 2021 when there was a lot of capital being raised. We were seeing term sheets come back with things that had been charged to the general partner now being charged to the fund. There was a lot of negotiations around that. The trend was to push more things onto fund expenses. Obviously, with the change in market dynamics, we're pushing back on that. We're always pushing back on that. We're having more success in pushing back on that now. But yeah, I mean, you certainly saw a 15-year trend of more and more things getting assigned to fund expenses.
Yeah. This seems like a real outlier, something we ought to be pushing back on if we still have that opportunity to do it.
That's we have to dive into it a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Any other questions or comments for either Tim or Brian on this? Seeing none, thank you. Thank you both.